2 Timothy chapter 1.
Chapter 1, verse 1.
Chapter 1, verse 1.
So, again, Dana.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone on
good morning.
Facebook.
Good morning.
We're in 2 Timothy chapter 1. So again, we do this every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so you guys are all welcome to join us if you have anything going on in the morning and you'd like to get through a chapter a day. We've just finished the book of 1 Timothy, and now we'll begin 2 Timothy, starting with chapter 1. And we're live on Facebook again, so really excited about that. Yes, Mondays we had over 186 views on the video, so that was interesting. So, well, let's pray, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercies that are fresh and anew every morning, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, that we can wake up every morning and just start over, Lord. Just let yesterday's garbage and junk go away, and just keep the praise and the worship and the blessings, Lord, flowing, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that it's a new day, and you desire so much, Lord, to just do a work in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We love you, Lord. Minister to us now as we continue on through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Just a little bit of a background so that we get an idea. It's a little bit different than chapter actually, 1 Timothy, though they are pastoral epistles. In 2 Timothy, Paul is at the end of his life. He probably has already started the trial. Maybe the preliminaries are done. Who knows where he's at in this trial? He's going to be executed for his faith in Jesus Christ as he writes this letter to his son in the faith, Timothy. So keeping that in mind while he's in prison, as he's writing this, it's his last letter. And yet, as you read through these chapters, you will find that Paul's faith is even stronger than ever before. Death is not something that he fears, but he embraces and knows that it's just a stepping stone to the place that ultimately we all go to, and that is heaven itself. So that's the context that he writes here. So he starts off again, as he does his other letters, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Now that's interesting in light of the fact that he's possibly going to, well, he is going to be executed, and yet he has the promises of life, which is in Christ Jesus. He has assurance of his salvation. He has assurance of eternal place, that this life, this death here on this earth is nothing compared to what awaits us. And really, that gives us the strength to continue on, so we don't have to live in fear, as he'll share with us in a minute. To Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord, and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, of course, in those orders comes grace, mercy, peace, and it always comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from anyone else. You can't get it from anyone else. You can't purchase it. It only comes from having a relationship with Jesus Christ himself. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. So, a prayer warrior praying for his son in the faith, Timothy, night and day. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. So apparently Timothy is probably aware of the fact that Paul's life is coming to an end, and as a young man, shedding tears for his mentor, his pastor, his leader, and knowing that he won't have him around much longer to encourage him, but now he will really have to depend on his faith and his trust in God without the Apostle Paul being there. And Paul was mindful of those tears of Timothy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your mother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. So he says it twice, the faith that Timothy has, his trust. And faith is really that. It's totally relinquishing yourself into the hands of God, surrendering everything and trusting God, that God will protect you, God will lead you and guide you, and you can have total faith in him. And obviously this came from his mother and grandmother, which is beautiful to see how we have an influence on those younger than us, on our relatives, on our children, on our grandchildren. I'm blessed to be able to influence my grandchildren. I have Gabby, Ethan, and Angelina over all the time, and we're able to sit there and talk about spiritual things, and you know that you're influencing them. And to hear them talk about some of the experiences in school and how they make decisions, and you see, wow, they do really listen, you know, and they're applying it to their lives, and that's exciting. And so here, Timothy's mother and grandmother just poured into him, and it paid off. He's reflecting their faith, right? Because he has faith, and Paul sees that as a reflection of their faith also. So it does pay off, so keep it up. He goes on and says in verse 6, therefore, so in light of all this, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. So apparently Paul and maybe some of the elders laid hands on Timothy and imparted to him the gift of teaching and gift of pastoring. And so Paul says, don't ever stop. Keep stirring that up. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, we all know that scripture. Many of us memorize that scripture because God has not given us a spirit of fear or a servitude that is in bondage to negativity. God has not given us that spirit at all, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In other words, he has given us a soberness to think clearly that who we believe in, that is Jesus Christ, is our power and our love. And we don't need to fear anything, anything at all. And so many of us walk around with fear about so much. Interesting that we're talking about this, because tonight we're going to talk a little bit about it at our Wednesday night service with Jacob as he's returning home. And now he has Laban behind him, and he has Esau in front of him. So he's very fearful as to what's going to happen to him. And so he begins to try to maneuver so much because he's not aware of the future. And so he begins to react to that. And God just takes him to a place where he begins to wrestle with him. And then he cripples him so he can't run. And he has to face his fears. Of course, those fears are faced with God, and we'll see in the following chapter that God softens the heart of Esau. So really, we don't have to fear. We shouldn't fear. And that's any type of fear, by the way. Whatever fears you may have, whether they're phobias or claustrophobic and all those things, especially those things that really have nothing tangible to touch and feel, but they're in your head. You know, you can cast those things out in the name of Jesus. And he says here, in power and of love, we have that strength in the Lord himself. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Notice that he says here that this calling was given to us, that it wasn't our works or according to our will. And if you go back to verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. It wasn't man that chose him. If you go to verse 11, I believe it is, it says, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. He was appointed by who? By God. And so once again, he just makes it very clear to the writers that this is not, you know, something that I have dreamed of doing. This is not something that that I have gone to school for. This is not a career choice. This is something that God has chosen for my life. And that tells us that our lives are not our own. They're God's to do with whatever he wants. I was hoping to be an architect one day. It never came true. I ended up becoming a pastor of a church. Of course, my second son becomes the architect, of course, right? But it is God's will for our lives to govern us and rule over us as he did Jacob. Verse 10. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. So it seems like there's three different roles here that Paul plays. He plays a preacher, he plays an apostle, and he plays a teacher. So three different roles, three different aspects of leading in ministry. You can be a preacher, you can be an apostle with authority, and you can also be a teacher, which there's differences in each one of those. But they're all gifts from God. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. The word hold fast, it speaks of being tossed around so violently that you literally have to hold on to get through the situation. Put yourself, let's say, on a boat as you're crossing the Sea of Galilee with Jesus and a storm comes up, you know, and you're holding on to the side of the boat as you're rocking all over the place. And that's what the word hold fast means. You cling to that side of the boat, otherwise you will fall off. So with everything that you have, you know, hold the patterns of sound words. That good thing, verse 14, which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phileas and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesimus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. So apparently Paul was getting very lonely. Some historians say that he lost a lot of friends at this point. And obviously he's been in prison probably for the second time now. And people don't want to be associated with him, you know, out of fear possibly of being arrested themselves. So they start to abandon him, and Paul's all alone. Timothy is there, a few other people that refreshed him while he was in his chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me, this friend of his. Then he ends with, the Lord grant to him, and that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Important note here. You know, Paul, who is an apostle, obviously is suffering. And you would think as an apostle that he would be above those things, but he's not. And he's suffering for his faith in Jesus Christ. He is totally surrendered to God's will, so he rejoices in the work that's being done. And yet, many are leaving and abandoning him. But he does find those faithful ones. And it's always those faithful ones that seem to stick around and encourage you. You know, how we need to be faithful ones for one another. To be a faithful person that's able to look beyond the flaws of an individual. To look beyond that person and say, God has a call on his life, and I want to be there for them, because I'm sure that it's a very difficult call. It can be lonely at times, and I want to be an encouragement. That is one of the gifts. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit to be an encourager and to be able to encourage people to push through, you know, struggles, to push through trials. And I know we all want friends like that, right? We all want to be encouraged and strengthened. But I'll tell you, if you become a friend like that, that you'll get friends like that too. And so as the proverb says, if you want friends, then be friendly. That's what Proverbs says. And we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that's Jesus Christ. You know. But here's these guys that are encouraging Paul while he's in chains, as he knows his execution is coming up. And so he needs that encouragement from them. And he reminds them that their rewards will be great because they have been encouraging him. And he appreciates it very, very well. So that ends chapter 1. We'll look at chapter 2 this coming Friday, as Paul will be dealing with some false teachers in this chapter also, as we go through it. So, anyway, any questions? Any thoughts? No? You guys are, they don't want me to turn the camera around and show how many people are here. We probably have about, 12 people here right now. And they all said, don't turn that camera around. So I won't. All right, Russ. A question that pertains to what we just studied. That's what we're looking at, not something way out there. Well, let's pray, and then we can discuss if you have any questions. Gracious Lord, we thank you, Father, for your grace and mercies. What an example Timothy was, Lord, to the Apostle Paul. Here's this young man, and he has faith that Paul's impressed by it, Lord. And not just his faith, but his mother and grandmother, Lord. And his commitment to him, his faithfulness, Lord. Father, may you raise up men and women like that, Lord, that are faithful to their leadership, that are faithful to their friends, that are faithful, Father, all around, Lord, that they may bring comfort and encouragement, Lord, to others, Lord. Jesus, Lord God, is the greatest example of this, Father, as he encouraged his disciples many, many times through the hardships, Father. Even though they were men of little faith, Jesus loved them to the very end. We thank you for this, Lord. May you bless your people today. Just lead them and guide them today. Bring mercy and grace to their lives, and just bless them with your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.